WEOL.
Seventeen minutes away from 4 o'clock. It's Bullseye on the afternoon on AM 930 WEOL. He's Matt Douglas. I'm Andy Bulbart. You've got us until 5, and then you've got the Cleveland Clinic Football Forecast Show with Tim Alcorn and Matt Douglas. They get you ready for all of tonight's action. They'll speak to all the area high school football coaches, and they'll get you set for what should be another entertaining week. Almost halfway through the season. This is already week 4 coming up here tonight. Feels like we just started, didn't we?
Yes, it does.
Wow. The high school football season flies. Absolutely flies.
I agree. Next week, we're already halfway through.
Yeah, wild. Well, and next week, too, I think you can start to have that conversation about who's in and who's out in the playoff picture. So next week, we'll start talking about that a little bit. All right, time for us to head to the hotline as we bring in the first guest of today's show. We've got Adam Burke with BangTheBook.com. Adam, thank you so much for joining us. How are you?
I'm doing well, man. How are you?
So far, so good. And, boy, a lot of interesting things developing going into the weekend. And I want to get into the Browns and their matchup against the New Orleans Saints on Sunday afternoon. Now, the Browns have actually not done all that poorly at the Superdome in years past. However, you know, taking a look at this weekend, there are some trends developing that say bet against the Browns. And I kind of wonder if that's the kind of thing that's going to change throughout the course of the year, simply because, yes, against the spread, the Browns were a great play last week. But, you know, until the Browns win a game, I kind of get the feeling that the trend of betting against them is still going to be wildly popular, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things where a lot of sharp bettors, the guys that set the market, the guys that move lines, they've been on the Browns a lot here over the last few seasons, and they've really paid for it, as, you know, obviously people in this area know all too well. You know, they get the cover last week, but at the same time, you know, as you break down the box score for that Browns game last week, they gave up 5.9 yards per play in that awful weather and the monsoon with the wind and the rain. Even with the 6 turnovers, they can't find a way to win, and you know, it's just kind of one of those things where this is a team that needs to learn not just how to cover on the road, but how to win on the road. And now they go down against a very upset New Orleans Saints team. Cleveland's a 9.5-point underdog here. Justified line for a reason. Could be a real uphill climb for the Browns this weekend.
I get the impression, too, and I know last week we had talked about how taking the over was a very profitable decision for those in the first weekend of college football. I feel like that's a lot more unpredictable when it comes to the NFL. And I think it could be said, too, that the NFL itself is a bit more unpredictable than college football. But did you notice any of that going on, like at one play over the other? Did you see a lot more people taking gambles with the over in the first week in the NFL, or is that something that just didn't really come into play?
It was kind of a mixed bag, to be honest with you, Andy. I mean, you know, you had a lot of uncertainty in terms of the officiating mandates with the helmet rule, the roughing the passer calls, and obviously Myles Garrett got called for a horrible one in that Browns game. We saw a lot of penalties last week, but we also saw a lot of turnovers. And, you know, we saw some pick sixes and some scoop and scores and things like that, but we also saw teams with some bad red zone execution, turning the football over, teams trading turnovers, a lot of new offensive coordinators this year. So, you know, it's just one of those things where I think there was some give and take last week, a lot of inconsistent play. One of the reasons you see a lot more high-scoring games in college football is just, quite simply, there's the talent disparity between two teams, and of course, the offenses are a little bit more creative, but the big talent gaps create a lot of mismatches within a college football game. So you get a lot more high-scoring affairs there, where in the NFL, you've got guys that are a little bit more gap-responsible, better tacklers, at least you would certainly hope so. You know, it's one of those things where I think it just kind of seesaws back and forth in the NFL where, you know, I think this week maybe you get some teams that play a little bit more vanilla. Maybe you've got some guys that understand the rules a little bit better. This, to me, if I was to guess, would be a week where things are maybe a little bit lower scoring. But, you know, we'll wait and see what the dust settles. And, you know, or wait and see when the dust settles on Sunday night and see what happened here with week 2.
Week number 1, new coaches were 0-7. Is that a trend you see continuing here moving forward into week 2?
It's, You know what? I mean, honestly, it could be. You know, you've got some new coaches here that, you know, are either coordinators or, you know, position coaches, something like that. And it takes some time. And one of the interesting things that we've been talking about a lot on Bang the Book Radio, which is the daily show that I do, week one of the NFL season has basically become week three of the preseason in the sense that everyone's actually out there playing. You know, the week three dress rehearsal in the preseason, a lot of starters are sitting now. We saw the Los Angeles Rams not even play anybody in the preseason. They were down 13-10 at half on Monday night, won that game 33-13. So, you know, for the new coaches, I think they tried to, you know, find that balance in the preseason, maybe at the expense of what happens with their teams early on in the year.
Adam Burke with BangTheBook.com is our guest here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. And last week, Adam, we had gotten into an article that you wrote talking about home field advantage and how that relates to college football. You guys have since produced another article, but this one pertains to home field advantage in the NFL. And in the article, it talks about how home field advantage applies against divisional and non-divisional opponents. And kind of wanted to give you a chance to elaborate and explain that as well. The major differences that you find between the two, simply because I think there's a wide range of things that go into this.
Yeah, that was a fantastic article by one of our writers over there, a guy named Danny Vorgs, and he took a look, as you mentioned, at divisional and non-divisional home field advantage. And, you know, there's kind of an aura, I guess I would say, with some of these teams from a division standpoint. You know, Green Bay, for example. Green Bay has never been an easy place to play for anybody. But when you play there regularly, you're a little bit more accustomed to the conditions. Obviously, you know, if you're in the NFC North, you kind of play in cold weather cities or you're used to going out there and playing in the elements. So, for example, Lambeau Field, divisional home field advantage of 3.5 points, non-divisional 4.5. And that's just based on the results and the outcomes that have happened in Packers games over the last few years. So, you know, it's just one of those things where familiarity is a big deal in the NFL, and this is something I think is very important to point out here for anyone that, you know, wants to get interested in betting on the NFL or just, you know, wants some different angles for talking about these games. These guys are all creatures of habit. You know, they have the same routines, the same schedules, they eat at the same time. When you play divisional opponents, you're staying at the same hotel, you know the locker room, you know the area, you know your way around town. When you're going to a different city that you don't go to all that often, it's a little bit of a shock to the system. And of course, too, regionally, you know, teams are grouped regionally by division. When you go outside the division, you're changing time zones, things like that. You know, we think of these players as impervious to those types of things, but they're really not. And those can be some very strong betting angles. Back-to-back road games, cross-country travel, all that type of stuff really factors into the NFL handicap because the talent gaps are small. So you have to find edges with some situational or maybe some intangible types of things.
Sure. That, and of course, you know, the short weeks as well. You play on Monday, then you have a game again on Sunday, or if you end up playing on Sunday and then you get stuck with one of those Thursday games, those very short weeks, you're right. All those little intangibles, they certainly do add up. What a trend.
And speaking of, sure. Let me interrupt you for just a second there, because the Browns play on Thursday night next week, as we know, and you've got Sam Darnold here, played for the Jets on Monday night against Detroit, comes back and plays Miami on a short week, then faces another opponent on a short week next week in the Cleveland Browns. The Browns are in a play-on spot to me next Thursday night because of that, with Darnold having that quick turnaround. So, you know, even if the Jets win this weekend, even if the Jets look good, even if Darnold looks good again, I still think Cleveland's in a play-on spot next Thursday. So I wanted to make sure I brought that up because, you know, we do this segment here on Fridays, so it'll be kind of after the Browns game is already played. But those are the types of angles you look for in the NFL.
Sure, no question about that. That's a very good point, too. So that could be a very interesting line to look for when they're released on Monday or Tuesday. Want to transition now into the college game here, because you guys also had a really cool article posted this week about the five college football upsets to watch for this week. And boy, early in the season, I think teams are certainly privy to upsets because they might be facing teams they don't face very often. Maybe they're just not familiar with. In the case of Michigan State, Arizona State last week, Michigan State didn't kick till 10:45 local time, and they had to go across the country. So again, I think it brings to the table a lot of the same intangibles we just talked about with the NFL. But at the college level, it's clearly a little bit different. You have freshmen, you have 17, 18-year-old kids leaving town or going across country for the first time. So you might have some of that coming into play as well for some of the football upsets. I just kind of wanted to give you a chance to explain these as well, because you guys picked out five pretty intriguing games on the slate for tomorrow and five potential upsets to watch for. What kinds of things should we be watching for? What might make some of these favorites a little susceptible tomorrow?
Yeah, you know, it's a thing where we've had quite a few upsets already. I mean, for example, Kentucky beat Florida last week. It's the first time in 31 games that Kentucky's knocked off Florida. So that was a big-time upset. They were about a two-touchdown dog in that game. You know, when you're looking for upsets, there are a few different things that you want to look for. You know, one of them, and for example, one of the games thrown in here, and I didn't write this article. I don't think that this is an upset necessarily. But when you look at Alabama and Ole Miss, Ole Miss matches up really well with Alabama, at least as well as any team, you know, realistically can. I mean, last year Alabama got their revenge, won in very, very lopsided fashion. But when Hugh Freeze was still down there in Oxford, he recruited for the sole purpose of matching up against Alabama because he knew, you know, hey, we need to be faster, we need to be a team on offense that can actually keep pace with the Crimson Tide, and it worked for them. You know, they've played a lot of competitive games against the Crimson Tide over the last few years, so they just match up well. And even a team like Alabama, you know, they go in there knowing, hey, we're a three-touchdown favorite, we're probably going to win the game, but they know that this is a place where they've had problems. And a lot of times when you think about college football and you think about, you know, the things that go through, I mean, all of us remember being college age or being in college, and I'm sure some of the listeners are even college athletes out there, you've got a lot of things on your mind. And if you're Alabama, you know, you're not worried about winning this game by a bunch of points. You're worried about winning and staying in line for the college football playoff. Those are the times when upsets can happen, when you're not fully focused on what's going on, when maybe you overlook an opponent, something like that. So there are some games here on the docket this week, and you know, there were plenty of games last week as well, where you just kind of look at them and say, you know, this may be a high-variance game, could be open to an upset, and then it winds up happening.
And one of those games that was listed in there, it discussed TCU and Ohio State. However, I mean, if you take a look at some of the trends that have developed for tomorrow as well, some of those betting trends mentioned that TCU may not necessarily be a team that you want to pick tomorrow. But where do you stand on this game, Adam? Because I feel like with Ohio State looking as good as they did the first 2 weeks of the season, that has a lot of people really excited and probably more prompt to just jump on Ohio State. But Ohio State is going to Texas. Now, this isn't exactly a true home game for TCU, but it's close enough. There are just so many different variables that factor into this game.
Yeah, there are a lot of variables that factor into this game for sure. And this is one of them. I know we talked a few weeks ago about Urban Meyer and what his suspension may mean to Ohio State. This was the game that we were all looking at because they were a 35-point favorite against both Oregon State and Rutgers. This is a much different type of test, especially with Gary Patterson on the other sideline for TCU, who's one of the best college football coaches in the country. The thing for Ohio State, though, is with this passing game that they have, Dwayne Haskins is putting the ball wherever he wants to. He's really only played the first half of the first two games that they've played, and he's put up some gaudy numbers. That's the difference. That's the separating factor here. If Ohio State was a one-dimensional offense and TCU generally has a very good defense, Ohio State could maybe be slowed down a little bit in this game. But because they can throw the football with such proficiency now, they can beat you through the air, they can beat you on the ground. And also, I think Ryan Day has done a really fantastic job with the play calling. Very excited to see what, you know, Ohio State looks like when Urban Meyer comes back, because I've heard, and I don't know if this is true or not, but I have heard that Ryan Day is going to continue calling the plays for the Buckeyes, which is something that, you know, everyone's going to love, I think, because he knows how good Dwayne Haskins is. He knows the two-back system that he's got. So I think Ohio State here is in pretty good shape this week. This is right around my power ratings number, but I will say I've upgraded Ohio State based on how good the quarterback play has been. They're very clearly the second highest team in the country for me now, behind Alabama. So the sky is the limit for this Buckeyes team with this passing game under Haskins.
Going to be very interesting to see what happens. Again, they kick that game tomorrow night at 8 o'clock, and we'll have it for you here on AM 930 WEOL. Adam, before we let you go, you mentioned you guys do a daily show. How can our fans listen to that show? You guys have that show every single day. It's Bang the Book Radio, correct?
Yes, sir. Bang the Book Radio. You can find it at bangthebook.com after the show has been recorded. I record every day from about 11 to 12:15, 12:30 or so. Usually it's posted by 1 o'clock over there. You can also find it on iTunes or Spotify. Just search Bang the Book and you're going to find it that way. And, you know, we try to cover as many college football games as possible, as many NFL games as possible, with a variety of professional handicappers and other people that are involved with the industry. And then, of course, we'll do basketball and hockey and all that kind of stuff once we get into the winter months. But it's something that we're very, very proud of. I think we've got a very good cast of guests. And, you know, I think it is something, again, as legalization continues to sweep across the country, something that can be a really good asset for people out there that are interested in this business.
Very good stuff. Ad, we appreciate the time as always, man. We'll do it again next week.
Absolutely. Thank you, Andy. Appreciate it.
Thank you again. That's Adam Burke with BangTheBook.com. Check out BangTheBook.com to see for yourself. And as Adam mentioned, you can always take a look or you could take a listen. They have a radio show every single day that you can check out as well. Make sure you check it out at BangTheBook.com. Time for a break here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. In just a minute, we'll get to your money now. And then we've got Matt Douglas standing by in the newsroom, ready to deliver the local news. And then at 4:10, we'll talk Tribe with Jim Rosen.